You want to introduce me?
I'd love to introduce you. Okay. Are you ready? I'm so ready to introduce you.
You're my son.
You want your sake?
Yeah.
Okay. Sake to me. Okay. I think I would have met you probably anyway, but because I found you online, I can't remember, anyway, but it was really this Poetry Junkies group where somebody said, you must, because I gave a presentation on Denise Levertov's organic poetry, and they said, you know Mr. Organic Poetry? And so apparently you're Mr. Organic Poetry. Okay, give it up for now, I'm just kidding. Okay. And so, about Paul. Paul is a poet. There's things I don't know and that we don't know. Interviewer, father, and literary, just try to stop me. Activist, engaged in a 20-year bioregional cultural investigation of Cascadia. Did you know this? A professional broadcaster from 1980 to 2006. That's a lot of broadcasting. And we have a lot to learn from him as broadcasters, right in front of us. On air at KNUA. I won't name all of them because there's a lot. In lots of cities. Good Lord.
They all had good fire rings, too.
Fire rings?
When I got fired from...
Oh, fire rings. I was like, I would like to go to a fire ring right now.
I for bringing in my dog. And you brought in your dog. Sorry, you have to go. It was class.
Really? Do you remember when Lorchan Bousselaar brought her dog into bookshop? Like, you just have to own it.
Fire.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's a bad reason. But you did get your M.A., from Lesley University in organic poetry, and you studied Walt Whitman and William Carlos Williams and Olson and all those people that we know about that are associated with it. What else?
Whatever you want to say from your heart.
Oh, my heart is just really thankful for Paul and opening up Cascadia to me and this friendship around poetry. Such genuine, generous, non-egotistical giving human in this area and beyond, I'm sure. And when he talks on the air, and I haven't heard you enough, there's just so much space for the other. He really listens and he draws you out. You have a beautiful voice, you have a beautiful soul. And now I'm going to cry too. Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you for bringing us back.
What a beautiful evening. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying. Pablo Bahler read my American Sentences. I write these 17-syllable poems every day. Ginsberg created a form that's sort of like a North American version of haiku. And Pablo said, your American Sentences remind me of Ramon Gomez de la Serna, who was a contemporary of Salvador Dali. I said, who's that? He said, he writes the Gregarias. And so I got the book, and I'm like, holy shit, are these amazing. So I started writing Haibun in a neo-Barocco manner, starting with a Gregaria by Ramon Gomez de la Serna. I could just skip through and read some of these Gregarias. As far as the stars are concerned, we are always in a bottomless pit, for instance. Or a real civilization would invent messenger seagulls. Is another one. And this one is told after a Haida tale told by Robert Bringhurst, who's one of the great poets of this bioregion and one of the world's leading experts on typography. This also has a bit of Richard Atliol, Nuchalnoth mythology in here. This is a poem called The Day the Weather Decided to Die. And the epigraph, Ramon Gomez de la Serna, on hearing the wooden rumble of thunder, we realize that we are situated below the platform of the sky. What constitutes a good family, they say, and give instructions to servants under the backdrop of the hugest sucking sound in history, prelude to when the wind did no longer rumble from under the skirt of the great Ma, no longer float a blue heron's hacho-side lumber, no longer sustain. Age of celebrity tattoo news or the rise of the Yurok, Duwamish, Tsimshian, Haida, Puyallup, Muckleshoot, Musqueam of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, bee silence, Fukushima, and Fukushima's to come. The weather born out of cockleshell embryo or out of snot. Weather that hunts birds and sends winds out in the skins of blue jay. Weather that steals hats of campesinos, compassions, for kicks. Weather that would sprout houses when adopted by a master carver. Weather that would be a scholar of carving. The weather, when painted, would sit facing the sea, would weep for owls with spots in the new northward range of dolphins' neighborhood, weather that would warn of the big ones who think of biting, weather whose big fish story is dried halibut, and waits and waits and waits for a shift in settler rituals. It could start with today is a good day to die. Could start with the inheritance of the campesino who opened up about his daily prayers for humility, or when he, the one born in a cockleshell, would dress as wren and sit way above the sea as a cumulus cloud, waiting to see what his latihan would bring. Dance, song, chant, or something more cathartic just beyond his outstretched wings. Remember, crows, your brother, stumps never lie. We hold up the sky. Paulonia Tomentosa, Ramon Gomez de la Serna. This would be a nice introduction to Seattle, what Seattle is. Oh, yes. And here's the epigraph. His good day was always overcast. And yes, he was from Seattle. And yes, the sun was shining that particular Friday in the season of lilac blossoms and full bloom empress tree, princess tree, Paulonia tomentosa, stolen from central and western China, but an invader here, loving the lack of competition for what sun there is, shaping purple hanging bell blossoms and leaves in pairs. We sit under it, take photos, are there if we think about it, Lakewood Park. And by good day, he meant in Seattle nice courtesy and not much else. We'll wait for your street crossing, we'll not honk. A city of the mind, a city of geeks, people here totally blow you off, the newcomers say in the Times. But not at the stop sign beyond the Empress tree. Not at the four-way stop where you go, no you go, no you go, no you go, and the guy from Chicago goes, knowing your MO, knowing driving the car is personality enshrined. And overhead's a helicopter shopping for dark-skinned shooting suspects, and here the anti-capitalism May Day riots, only three businesses with busted windows, and here a view of deep Elliott Bay Azul under snow-capped Olympics seeking a hearing. Good day, always overcast, always an undertone. Somewhere the intimacy's obscured. Some know the names of dogs at the dog park, but not the ones the other side of the leash. Not the neighbor's name or wife, but their latte order or Wi-Fi signal and how much in their compost bin. Is it the weather? Topography? It is a social script that leads to alienation, but Emmett Watson didn't want you here anyway, and we can't make a left on Denny at 1:40 in the afternoon, and bike riders forego single file just to hack at you and your humongous carbon footprint. In Slaughter, I once saw a yard sign that simply said, vote no. Can whip it out for any election. Vote no. Democracy easy as yard signs and being against. Just put a line through it. Easy as stopping for one pedestrian or take a pill or cut it out or the bombing starts in 5 minutes or the settler prehension a century after the perimeter is secured. And yes, the sun shines that particular Friday. The season of late magnolia blossoms, of English heather or Scotch broom petals sticking their heads out of leaves this side the highway, season of lilac blossoms, and the full bloom empress tree, princess tree, Paulonia tomentosa, stolen from western China, but just an invader here like you and me. I had a chance to do a residency at the lake where Morris Graves lived the last 30 years of his life, the brilliant Cascadian painter. His greatest creations may have been the places that he lived, and the lake is remarkable. Highly recommended you look into that. Being able to be in Morris Graves' studio and write, looking at the lake, is stunning. And I was, and Sam Hamill helped hook it up. He said, I hope you go through with this because I set it up for you. And I went through with it and it was amazing. And several of these were written. In fact, I ended writing this book at the lake. And this will be my last poem. And it's called Clues from Hell. And I'll take another sip of sake since there's a sake reference in the thing.
What's the name of the lake?
The lake. The lake in Lolita, California. That's what he called his place. If you go to the Morris Graves Foundation, they have a website now. And do that. I recommend it. And Vicky, I will write you a beautiful reference letter if you need that. You would have such an amazing time. Clues from Hell, Ramon Gomez de la Serna, and thank you for your deep listening. I'm really grateful. These are rare experiences. We've gone through the pandemic and we've missed them so much, so thank you for being here. What a gift. Smoke rises to heaven when it ought to descend to hell. Ramon Gomez de la Serna. And the heavens of your making a home, be it the rock or Kerlotten, Woodtown or the lake, Cagayan or Cloud Nine, Slaughter or a little corner of Hillman City survivable by pea patch. Make it with enough care to notice from the lichen to the day moon, from the library to the Japanese maple, from the giant sunflowers to the three steepled cedar points to better weather. In it, and in the chaos of the marked up books, the three-toed vase, the empty Otokoyama bottles in the recycle bin, clues. To sift through the wreckage one day, they'll want clues. Clues to how you ended up next to a fire, well tended, and clues to the spiritual chase. Clues to the record and direction for future seekers, and clues to where you hid the Humboldt fog. Clues could hide right in front of you, as does the sponge plant by the duckweed drift, which smears the morning lake. Clues of cigarette butts and grief. Old growth redwood, 800 years old, 300 feet tall, heard its share of prayers. They were always there, we'll say, prominent as miniature islands with salal, blue huckleberry, and dwarfed spruce. Calm as the lake ripples made by a coot flock landing. Subtle as the wood smoke rejecting hell in the making of its new home as it courts the morning Cascadia fog. Sincere as autumn bouquets, sweet little nosegay-like for every dead stranger in the cemetery, made with the spirit of giant cobwebs of geese in the sky and mild-mannered hallucinations of reverse snow in September Olympic fireweed, or the hush of dropping fir needles with each new exhale from Blue Glacier. So, stock up on cake mix and tequila, butter and turkey bacon, mangoes y pan de banana. Have handy jasmine rice and altar candles, fresh garlic and olive oil, cashew bits and blush wine, wool socks and binoculars, photos of the loved ones, and always the clue-enabling ancestors. Decoding the sea and the heavens ain't for sissies. Lend a hand or stand back. This is a depiction of Don Pullen at the backstage, which is a wonderful venue in Ballard. And this is done by Bill Turner, who died about a year and a half ago. And I'm really honored to have his painting on the cover of my book, which he gave me permission before he died.